with Paul Burmeister now, part of NFL Network's coverage of Saturday's Senior Bowl right here in Mobile, Alabama, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul, you've been to a few of these things before. Your perspective on how this one might vary from some of the others?
They're always fun. I think this is the seventh or eighth time we've been down here, and it's such a tremendous week for us, as it is for you, to really kind of kickstart the process of getting to know the prospects, what they look like. You get to put your eyes on them. You get to be a part of the conversations with the GMs and coaches. So it's invaluable this week what we get to learn. As far as specifics, the South team defense has been fantastic up front. It's been fun to watch. I think the cornerbacks for the South team have been very good. And as a former Big Ten quarterback, I mean, it's fun to watch a Russell Wilson, a Kirk Cousins, such successful college careers. It's fun to look at them out here and picture what kind of NFL quarterbacks they might be.
Yeah, let's start with your quarterbacking background and some of the things that you are noticing about these guys, if you can break down their individual games.
I think it's easy for me to fall in love with the quarterback stories every year just because I was lucky enough to play the position for a while. But the college resumes of the guys we had this year are just, I mean, it's fun to follow these guys. Kellen Moore, the most successful quarterback in college football history with 50 wins. So that's good in and of itself. He fails the eyeball test because he looks like he's in eighth grade. He's less than 6 feet, but he's a very good quarterback. So it's great to get to know him. It's fun to watch him. Russell Wilson, 50 starts. I mean, we've never had a quarterback here in the Senior Bowl. First team, all-conference, MVP and captain in the ACC and also in the Big Ten. And what jumps out to me, he's 5'10". But he's got an NFL arm. I mean, the ball comes out like it's supposed to, good velocity. He can move around quite well. So it's been a lot of fun to watch these guys who come in with tremendous college resumes, but some knocks on them height-wise, but also some physical skills that are easy to like as well.
And, of course, they're practicing with and being coached by the Minnesota Vikings coaching staff. Are some of the things that the Vikings coaches are having them do and maybe the mechanics they're working on helpful to, do you notice some of those details that are coming out in their game versus what they were doing at the collegiate level?
I think when most people think about, okay, quarterbacks getting coached by NFL quarterback coaches and coordinators and head coaches, they think about the motion or just flat out throwing the football. And it really starts with the footwork with any quarterback, and especially with these players, because they come from some version of the spread offense, and that ability to get under the center, get the football, get it out on time, have your rhythm and balance, that is a tough thing to do for any quarterback, especially one that's used to running the spread system. So when I listened to Billy Musgrave, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, who was a very good quarterback at Oregon, had a nice career as a backup quarterback, it's about the footwork. It's about getting it out on time. And it's fun to listen to those coaches teach those kids that. It's not about throwing the football so much as it is being comfortable under center and having good footwork.
And on the South squad, perhaps the most interesting story of the Senior Bowl, Brandon Whedon from Oklahoma State, former baseball pitcher, 28 years old, very much a Chris Wanky story, the older guy hanging out with all these young kids. What do you make of his story?
It's funny because we, in our very first production meeting this week, our producer brought it up to compare Brandon Whedon to Chris Wanky, and Mike Mayock said, I hate that story. Brandon's his own quarterback. Whatever Chris did 10 years ago or didn't do has nothing to do with him. And that's true. I mean, the fact that Chris Wanky didn't have a very good run as a college or an NFL quarterback should not affect Brandon, but you know how it is draft time. We like to have precedents. We like to look back and draw parallels, and because Chris Wanky was also an older quarterback and he didn't have a great NFL career, the comparisons are going to be there. But the evaluation of Brandon as a quarterback is going to be strictly for him as a quarterback. 22 wins or 23 wins the last 2 years, big numbers, big arm. How does that translate to the NFL? I think his evaluation will be a lot more about what he shows here in the combine once they get beyond the conversation of let's compare him to Chris Wanky, because it's a similar situation with the age.
Paul Burmeister from NFL Network joining us here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. He's on the broadcast, of course, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul, when you look at the size and strength of those South team quarterbacks, that really jumps out. I mean, as a group, it just seems like just a bigger, more physical bunch of quarterbacks.
Yeah, Brandon Whedon, I like him a lot. And I know the age that we just talked about is going to affect his evaluation and draft status a whole lot. But I think he throws it really well. I like what he did at Oklahoma State a lot. Nick Foles is interesting to me. He's big. He's got a nice arm. Comes out of a spread offense. I've not been as impressed by him as Brandon Whedon. And Ryan Lindley, a huge amount of experience at San Diego State. But when you have a quarterback with that much experience and that much skill, your eyes go right to the stats. He never had a season where he was over, I think, 58%. And I think his senior season, he was at 53%. So all these quarterbacks have a lot of skill, but they also have questions to answer. And I think when you talk about Ryan Lindley, it's about why weren't you more productive and consistent with all that experience and all that talent?
In your observations and your discussions with people involved in this game, Paul, do you feel that in a year when underclassmen are going to come in and dominate that position, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, that that's impacting maybe the way some of these guys are performing in these workouts?
I think so. One of the number one discussions right now, when you look at this draft as a whole, there's tremendous talent at the quarterback position at the top. You have two guys in Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III that are worthy of the 1 and 2 pick, not just this season, but any season. I think those two are that good as prospects. After that, there's two questions. Who's next? And how good is that person who's next? And right now, it feels like there's not another first-round quarterback out there. And if you're a Brandon Whedon, who's one of the guys in that next group, and you know Mike Shanahan is your coach, and Washington probably looking for a quarterback in that second round, if they don't find a way to trade up and get RG3, it's got to be on the mind of a guy like Brandon Whedon. Now, I will say at this time last year, none of us thought Christian Ponder would be a first-round pick in the 12th overall selection. So need and teams falling for guys in the next 3 months could push one of these quarterbacks into that first round, but right now it feels like two guys at 1 and 2, or maybe two guys at 1 and somewhere in the top 5, and then the rest of them fighting to be considered first round quarterbacks or maybe even second round quarterbacks.
And the fact these guys are in pads and helmets and doing actual football drills versus what we see at the combine in shorts and t-shirts gives it a different flavor and feel. But for, again, the passing game, you still have to be used to the people who are catching the ball, and you still have to develop that chemistry that probably is never really going to be developed in just the course of a week before a game. So how has that influenced things?
In some ways, what you just mentioned, I mean, it's very true. Cards are stacked a little bit against the passing game because a quarterback, it starts with the center exchange. Number one, it takes a while to get it with a center. And number two, for guys who've been in the shotgun their entire careers, which a lot of these quarterbacks are now in the spread system, it takes a while to get that feeling and that rhythm. So that's number one. And then number two, the outside, your timing with your wide receivers, that takes a while. However, I think there are some things going for the offenses and the quarterbacks because a defense is very limited here. There's no stunning. There's no blitzing. You know exactly what coverage the defense is going to be in. So what you lack in timing and comfort offensively, I think the quarterbacks are helped a lot by how the defenses are limited in this game.
How does the pass protection look to you, just the way these offensive linemen are handling that? Because that's got to be such a big part of what teams in this quarterback-driven, passing-driven NFL, that has to be a priority, finding guys who can handle those pass protections.
To me, it looks like the defensive linemen are winning so far, and I really think it's a strength of not only the South defensive team, but the everything we're seeing here, offense, defense, North and South. But, I mean, you bring up a very good point. I mean, the pass rush right now is the answer to everything. I mean, at NFL Network, I tee up all the analysts I like and respect about how do you affect Tom Brady? How do you slow down Aaron Rodgers? What can you do defensively against these guys? And it all eventually gets down to you got to pressure the quarterback. So then one of my other questions this season, with the tight ends playing so well, Jimmy Graham seems unstoppable, Gronkowski and Hernandez, there's so many talented tight ends changing the game offensively. So I'll ask one of our analysts, what can you do defensively to slow this down? What's the defense's next answer to the tight end dominated pass offense? Rush the quarterback. So, I mean, it's all about getting to the quarterback. And look at the Giants. They are getting to the quarterback with four defensive linemen. I mean, Perry Fuel doesn't have to do a lot of exotic, crazy stuff to get to the quarterback because his front four doing a very nice job of that by themselves. So you bring up a very good point. It's the number one thing right now besides finding a quarterback, finding guys who can get to the quarterback.
And we haven't really seen any Rob Gronkowski's or Aaron Hernandez's or Jimmy Graham's out here.
No, I think we have a collection of tight ends. They're going to be, you know, mid to late round picks. But we had Jimmy Graham here a couple of seasons ago. And as the week went on, you could see, okay, he's pretty raw. But somebody coaches him up and puts him with a good quarterback, he's going to be a force in a couple of years. Nobody like that at tight end right now in this year's group.
Paul, thank you so much for your time.
You got it. Thank you.
He is Paul Burmeister. He will be on the broadcast for Saturday, NFL Network, 4 p.m. Eastern Time with Mike Mayock, Charles Davis, Heath Evans. Make sure you're tuning in to that. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford from Mobile, Alabama, on ESPN 850 WKNR.